Just after the commission hearing ended this afternoon, we spoke with one of the members, James Thompson, the Republican former governor of Illinois. He joined us from the busy press room at the National Transportation Safety Board, where the hearings took place. I asked Governor Thompson if today's staff report should lay to rest charges that Iraq cooperated on attacks with al-Qaeda.
Probably not. I mean, there are conspiracy theories out there abounding, and some of them will go on after the report is issued and the furor has died away. I mean, we did hear evidence of some low-level contacts between Iraqis and al-Qaeda, but as the staff report says, no evidence that the Iraqis had anything to do with the September 11th attacks.
You mentioned conspiracy theories. Vice President Cheney this week also talked about this issue. He mentioned that Saddam Hussein had what he called long-established ties to al-Qaeda. Do you think that your staff report contradicts what he said?
No, because the staff report is carefully limited to the September 11th attacks, which does not contradict any notion that there may have been ties between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. There is evidence that we've seen that al-Qaeda or some of its members might have attempted to obtain weaponry from Iraq. But that's quite a different question from saying that the Iraqis had any foreknowledge or participated in any of the planning or assistance for September 11th.
A fair amount of the testimony that you heard today had to do with future plans by al-Qaeda, and there was a lot of language about an imminent, possibly imminent, spectacular attack. Did you hear anything, do you think, in the course of these hearings from intelligence or the law enforcement communities that gives you any comfort that an attack like that could be averted at this point?
None whatsoever. No comfort. Well, think about it. If they were to try to do something with airplanes as weapons again, which I doubt because of the security precautions that have been taken in terms of fortifying cockpits and a much greater scrutiny of who gets on the airplane and what they're carrying, although that is not yet perfect. But look, there's, 4,000, 5,000 flights a day in the United States, even if you knew that they were going to try and use an airplane, a commercial airplane, as a weapon again. The only thing you could do to prevent that, it seems to me, without knowing which flight, would be to ground all aircraft in the United States, and you just can't do that every day. But there are many more ways that al-Qaeda or any other terrorist group can, in this big, open, free country of ours, attack our vital interests and cause mass casualties, whether with chemical weapons or with anthrax or truck bombs or explosives or you name it. And there is no way in the world, unless we knew ahead of time the exact nature of the plot, who was in it, where they were going to be, and we went and picked them up. So when you hear chilling statements, as we heard today again, and we heard from everybody from the President of the United States down, that there most likely will be another attack within the next several months in the United States, you're left with just a terrible sense of fright.
You posed a question today, maybe a hypothetical question, I'm not sure. How in the world do we expect to win this war? And I wonder whether you feel you have an answer to that.
Well, it was not hypothetical at all. I mean, if you think about the battles in which this country has been engaged from the beginning of its existence, those were all against nation states, against defined battle lines, either in the United States or abroad. And now we're confronting an enemy, which may number in the hundreds of thousands of people, virtually unknown to us, except for terrorists whom we keep an eye on. They're prepared to kill themselves. These martyrs, these terrorists, quite willingly give their lives to inflict murder and casualties on American citizens, as we've seen. Just look at what's happening in Iraq, an example I cited today, where people quite willingly get into trucks and drive into headquarters and blow themselves up in the hope of inflicting casualties. It's a very, very difficult notion that we can ultimately defeat this kind of activity. What it appears to be is something that Americans are going to have to contend with perhaps for generations.
Tomorrow in your hearing, you'll be taking up the issue of the military response on 9/11, whether planes were scrambled quickly enough. I wonder if you could preview a bit of what kinds of things we're likely to hear tomorrow.
I don't want to jump tomorrow's hearings because I've been quite critical about press leaks, you know, that have preceded the hearings and during the hearings, like the front page of the New York Times today, which I thought was atrocious. So I don't want to engage in that kind of behavior myself, but we will explore very, very closely the timeline of what happened that day, the timeline of what happened in the White House, what happened with the air traffic controllers, what happened with FAA higher-up officials, what happened with NORAD, the pilots through the generals, and hopefully dispel some of the confusion or misinformation or contradiction out there, because I think this is an area where our staff has been extraordinarily good in tracing a definitive timeline for our purposes of what happened that day, why it happened, and I think this is something that the American people really need to pay close attention to.
What are some of the questions that you think you'd like to see resolved tomorrow in some way?
Well, the question, for example, of the authorization to shoot down airplanes if that became necessary, and how that came about. Why was contact with the planes lost? Whether there's any culpability in that, or whether it was simply a matter of the hijackers being able to turn off the transponders and disappear from view. You know, it was a very tough challenge for the air traffic controllers, and I think tomorrow's hearing will demonstrate that they performed magnificently, but there are things you can expect of them, and there are things you cannot expect of them. So all I can tell you is tune in.
Governor Thompson, thanks so much.
My pleasure, and may I say hello to all the Chicago cab drivers who listen to you night and day.
Well, you just did.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
James Thompson is former governor of Illinois. He's a member of the 9/11 Commission.
You can hear a replay of today's hearings and read the Commission staff report on Al-Qaeda at our website, npr.org.